Delighted to have the Reverend Cranston again this evening. We certainly have been enjoying his ministry this week. We trust and pray the Lord will bless him again as he comes to bring God's word to us this night.
Returning in the word of the Lord this evening to the book of the Revelation once more, this time to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. As we have been considering different aspects of that wonderful place called heaven, well, tonight we come to the wedding in heaven. The Word of God tells us about that great wedding that will take place in the glory land. And then tomorrow night, as Reverend Patterson has mentioned, we'll be looking at heaven itself, indeed, as a wonderful place. But then the last night, we want to consider the wonder of heaven. The wonder of heaven is the Lord Jesus. As we've said before, what would heaven be like without Christ? And the wonder of heaven is Christ. And we'll be dealing with that, Lord willing, on Friday evening. And tomorrow night, our wonderful heaven. The Bible tells us about some wonderful things about heaven that we shall see one day and we shall experience one day. Then tonight I want to look at the wedding that will take place in heaven. And John was given a revelation of that wedding. And praise God, those of us who are here tonight and saved by grace, we'll be at that wedding, that's for sure. We'll be at the wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we're turning tonight to Revelation 19. We shall begin our reading at the opening verse. Revelation 19 and verse 1. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And their smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 9. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy, infallible word to our hearts this evening. Once again, before we consider the Lord's word to us this evening, let us unite our hearts once again in prayer. As always, we need the Lord's help in answer to prayer. O Father and our most gracious God, we bless thee for what we have tonight in Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that we stand complete in him. No work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. We're glad, Lord, that we are this evening accepted in the beloved. Those of us tonight who have been blood washed and blood bought, we stand accepted in Christ. And we are just as acceptable with thee, our Father, even as is thine own Son. What a wonderful position this is. What a wonderful relationship this is. What a wonderful hope we have. What a wonderful home we have to look forward to. We bless thee, O God and Father, that has been all made possible through what was wrought and accomplished at Calvary. Thank thee tonight, Lord, for the blood. Put the blood on the meeting now. Come and defeat the devil now, I pray. Come and speak to every heart, Lord, and especially those that are in this gathering, and Lord, they do not have a wedding garment. They will not be present at the marriage, Lord, unless they receive a wedding garment. Lord, may that garment be given to them tonight. May they be ready for the great marriage supper of the Lamb, for that great wedding in glory. Lord, answer prayer. Move by thy Spirit this night from heart to heart. Come, holy celestial dove of heaven, and brood upon this gathering this night. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, that I might be able to preach the word, to preach Christ, and to preach the blood. In the Lord's wonderful and precious name, we ask all these things. Amen. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Chapter 17, 18, and 19 of the book of the Revelation, the Apostle John speaks about two primary individuals. He speaks about one whom he calls a woman. The other he speaks about, he calls a wife. They both stand in stark contrast, the one to the other. The woman is identified in chapter 17 by her wickedness, her whoredoms, by her fornications, and by her filthiness. We're told about how she is dressed in chapter 17, verse 4. We're told about how she is depraved in chapter 17 and verse 5. We're told then in the same chapter, verse 6, about her drunkenness. She has power. She has position. And did not hesitate to promote herself. But who might this adulteress, abominable, arrogant woman be? Chapter 17 and verse 18. There we are told, the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And then in the opening verses of chapter 19, we read about her downfall. She is, of course, identified for us, the great mother of harlots, the great whore, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That's the Church of Rome, the mother of harlots. We know that from her colors, her clothing, and her conduct. All such things point to that awful, abominable system. That's the woman. But then over against the woman stands the wife. And what a contrast. The wife, of course, being the bride of the Lamb. The Lamb's wife is the one whom John speaks about in chapter 19. He informs us that the wife is the Lamb's wife, the Church of Jesus Christ. We know that from Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians, we're told there about the Lamb's wife, the Church of Jesus Christ, in verse 23, Ephesians 5. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Here we have the wife, the Lamb's bride. And all who are here this night, who have been washed in the blood that the Lamb shed on Calvary, we are members of that bride. We are part of that bride. We're part of the Lamb's wife. And here the book of the Revelation tells us about that great day when we shall see our blessed Savior. We shall see the Lamb, and we will sit down with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what a day that will be. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus and will sing and shout the victory. Clothed and prepared and made ready for the great marriage supper, when we'll sit down with the Lamb. First of all, with regard to the marriage and the wedding in heaven, there is the gathering for the wedding. And what a gathering it will be. We know that, generally speaking, weddings bring together a great number of people. And certainly no wedding on earth brought together as many as will gather at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There'll be the hosts at the wedding, the hosts. John describes those who attend this wedding as a great multitude, verse 6. We know that weddings will often attract the gaze of many onlookers, especially if there happens to be a royal wedding. And the television cameras will be there from all over the world to capture the event of a royal wedding. Ah, but listen, that'll be nothing to the royal wedding we will attend. No, we'll be attending the wedding of the one who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a royal wedding that'll be. And we'll not be there just as onlookers. We'll be there as part of the wedding. We'll be married to the Lamb because we are the bride of the Lamb. And it will be the wedding of the great King. We know we'll be there. Paul tells us in Romans 8 and verses 29 and 30 that all whom the Lord has saved and redeemed, he has glorified. So in the eyes of the Lord, we are already glorified. In the eyes of the Lord, we are already in heaven. In the eyes of the Lord, we are already there at the marriage supper. See? Our seat will not be left empty. Our name is written down in glory, and one day we will occupy that seat. You know how it is, you go to a wedding, you go to the reception, you sit down at the table, and there's your name and your little name tag at your seat. You've been invited. And you can go and you can take your place at that chair, at that seat, and say, "That's reserved for me." Well, there's a place in heaven reserved for us. What a thought. There is a place reserved for us in heaven. John looked there upon that great occasion and saw a great multitude. And I wonder how many from this meeting here tonight, how many faces that are in this service tonight did John see when he was given a revelation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, I know for sure I'll be there. But will you be there? That is, will you be present at the marriage supper of the Lamb? If you're not saved, you'll not be there. If you're not saved, if you have not been to the cross and you're not saved by the grace of God, and you have been washed in the blood and you haven't received a wedding garment, you, my friend, will not be there. We'll not see you at that wedding. We want to see you. We love to see you. We trust you will be there. But there'll be a great multitude. And I trust you'll be numbered in that multitude. Not only are there hosts at the wedding, there's harmony at this wedding. sometimes weddings aren't always harmonious occasions. Families maybe have differences and so forth, but we'll not go into that. But on this occasion, there'll be perfect harmony. There'll be perfect harmony. At the marriage supper of the Lamb. Notice the great multitude sang as one voice. There's the harmony. There'll be no disharmony, no divisions, no disputes. Perfect harmony amongst all in attendance. They sing, we will sing as one person. We will sing with one voice. We'll sing with one heart. In this world that there's so much disharmony and discord and disputes, my, what a blessed change it will be when we get to heaven and we sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we will sit there as one person with one heart and sing one song. Revelation 7, verse 9. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Isn't that amazing? Think of it. Of all nations, kindreds, and people and tongues, and yet perfect harmony. The Lamb made this all possible. The Lamb has made it possible through His redeeming work and His atoning work that there are souls from all kindreds, all nations, all tongues who have received the Lord Jesus, and they're at one with God, and we're at one with each other through the blood of the Lamb, and there'll be perfect harmony in heaven. Only Christ could accomplish that. Only Christ could accomplish that. Therefore, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, there'll be Jew and Gentile, bond and free, small and great, all gathered together as one. Redeemed by the blood. At one with God. We've seen the hosts and the harmony, but there's also here the honoring at the wedding. Now, things are slightly different, will be slightly different at this wedding we read about here. Different from the weddings that we see here upon earth. We all know that everybody wants to see the bride when there's an earthly wedding. Well, the bridegroom can take his place and people hardly even notice he's there. But we're all waiting to see the bride. And we're all sitting in the house of God, and then the music plays and everybody turns to watch the bride come walking up the aisle. And to see how she is arrayed and how she is dressed. And people praise the bride. Isn't she beautiful? But not so much that in the wedding in heaven. It's not the bride who gets all the praise. It's the Lamb. It's Christ. The Lord Jesus receives all the praise. The Lord Jesus is given all the praise. And I heard, verse 6, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, and as voice of many waters, as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Doesn't say Alleluia for the bride. No, it's Lord. Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. He's given the honor. He has given the praise. He is given all the glory, and rightfully so. The Lamb is the one who receives all the glory. Alleluia, of course, means praise the Lord. There's the praise and there's the person. Even though it is a wedding between Christ and his bride, yet all praise and honor is given to him. Not on the bride. How often have we said of our own selves, we have nothing to glory in. What have we to glory in? Nothing. Our glory is Christ. It is here, and it will be in heaven. We will give the glory and honor to him. For if the Lord had not redeemed us, made us his children, made us his bride, there wouldn't be a wedding in heaven. There wouldn't be any such thing as a wedding in heaven. There wouldn't be a marriage supper of the Lamb. We wouldn't be in heaven. We would be there down in the caverns of the dam for all eternity. We wouldn't be singing God's praises. We would be lamenting and weeping and wailing and gnashing our teeth for all eternity. That's why the Lamb is given all the glory. We have nothing to glory in. Nothing. Zero. The glory is all the Lord's. The glory must be all the Lord's, now and for all, forever. Let us not wait then until we get to heaven and to take part in that wedding. Let us give glory to God now, as the psalmist has encouraged us. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God, yet let them exceedingly rejoice. Psalm 68, verse 3. So we've seen the wedding gathering. What about the wedding garment? When a wedding is held, as we've already pointed out, all who are present are interested in seeing the bride to see the garment that the bride is wearing. And the usual verdict is, oh, she is beautiful. But no more beautiful than the bride of Christ. For there we read in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For fine linen is the righteousness of saints. There's our wedding garment, believer. That's our wedding garment. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For fine linen is the righteousness of saints. First of all, note, something different here again from the weddings we're used to. We know that the bride-to-be with her bridesmaids, her mother perhaps, will go out months ahead of the wedding date and choose a wedding dress and purchase that wedding dress. That's not how it was done in Bible times. You'll notice it here in the verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in white linen. To her was granted. The word granted there means to her was given a wedding garment. You see, the wedding garment in Bible times, in Bible lands, is given by the bridegroom to his bride. And that's in keeping with what we have here. Because in verse 8 it says, to her, that is to the bride, to the church, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Granted. It was given to her so that the garment the Lamb's wife will wear on that great day is one that is given to her. It's not one that she goes out and purchases for herself. No, it is a garment that has been purchased for her, and purchased for her by her husband. And believer, the wedding garment we will wear in that great day at the marriage supper of the Lamb that we'll be wearing will be purchased for us by our blessed Savior. It'll not be a wedding garment of her own making, of her own purchase. Christ has purchased the wedding garment for us. That's how we'll be arrayed. Purchased for us by Christ. It's true, isn't it? Right down to the last detail, salvation is of the Lord. Everything we have comes from the nail-pierced hand of Christ. You recall the garment we used to wear. Isaiah 64, verse 6 tells us, filthy garments, corrupt garments. That's how we were once arrayed. That's how we were once dressed in the eyes of God. But then the Lord in His grace took away those garments and gave us a garment of His own making. Gave us a garment as beautiful as Himself. Because the garment He gave us and the garment we'll wear on that great day of the marriage supper of the Lamb is the garment of His own perfect righteousness. His own perfect righteousness. That's how we shall be arrayed. The righteousness of Christ. What a wedding that's going to be. You recall the story the Lord Jesus told? Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. You go down the chapter to verse 11. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment, and he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless and said, then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why was he dealt with so severely? Because you see, he had been offered a wedding garment. Just the same principle as we have in the wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will wear a garment given to us by Christ. As we've already said, in Bible lands, the wedding's there. People were giving a wedding garment by the bridegroom. And here is a man who thought he could attend the wedding ceremony without the wedding garment, even though it had been given to him, even though it had been offered to him, yet he wouldn't accept it. He refused the wedding garment, and the order was given, take him, bind him hand and foot, and cast him out of my sight. To any unsaved persons in the meeting tonight, every time you hear the gospel message, you are being offered a wedding garment. You are. You are being offered a wedding garment. And up until this moment in time, if you're still in your sin, you've evidently then refused that wedding garment that was offered to you. And it will be the same on the day of judgment. If you don't have on the wedding garment, the order will be given. Bind that man, hand and foot. Take him out of my sight. And cast him into everlasting fire. And here we are dealing with the wedding in heaven, and you've been offered a wedding garment tonight again. If you don't accept the wedding garment, you'll not be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Will you not accept it then tonight? Will you not accept it tonight so that you can join us? Come with us. Come with us to the wedding. Come with us to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Come with us and we will do thee good. Come, friend. Accept the wedding garment. And we'll see you at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's a given garment. It's a gorgeous garment. This wedding garment. It must be a gorgeous garment since it is the garment of the righteousness of Christ. It is described for us there in the verse 8. For there in the verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. The word white is a word that may be rendered bright. The wedding garment is clean and bright, shining bright. The same word is used in Revelation 22 and verse 16. In verse 16, we read, I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. The word white is the same word bright. Christ is the bright and the morning star. When we stand beside Christ at the marriage of the Lamb in heaven, we'll be dressed just like Christ. Because the garment we shall wear is said to be clean and white, or clean and bright. What does that teach us? That teaches us that we shall have a likeness to Christ that we never had here upon earth. We often make it a prayer of ours. Lord, make me more Christ-like. I'm sure we're familiar with the prayer, the words of Robert Murray McShane, Holy McShane, when he prayed often, Lord, make me as holy as is possible for a saved sinner to be this side of eternity. That's what we all labor after. That's all we strive for. We want to be more like Jesus, conformed to the image of his person. Well, listen, that day is coming. That day is coming when we shall be like him. We'll be as Christ-like then as we have never been here on earth. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Something else about this word in verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of saints. That word white, as we have already said, may be rendered bright. As Christ said, he was the bright in the morning star, so there'll be a likeness to Christ for us. But there's something else. This garment that is clean and white will not only render us like Christ, but in us will be seen the loveliness of Christ. Because that word, white, may also be rendered gorgeous. Once more, you've the thought of the bride at the wedding, and she comes down the aisle with her wedding dress, and she says, and we say, the bride is gorgeous. That's a gorgeous dress she has. That's what will be said of us. Because the wedding garment we will wear will be gorgeous. But wait, we find that word rendered one other place, and it's translated gorgeous, just one other place, and that's in Luke 23. And there in Luke 23 we have the same word, white, and in Luke 23 the word is rendered gorgeous. Luke 23, verse 11. Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe. Same word. Arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and set him again to Pilate. So the robe we'll be wearing, the wedding garment we will wear at the marriage supper of the Lamb, will be of fine linen. It'll be clean and white. It'll be clean and bright. And it will be clean and gorgeous. But rendering the word gorgeous takes us to Christ and his preparation for his sufferings. They arrayed our blessed Savior as they were taking him to the cross. They put on him a gorgeous robe. And believer, when we wear that wedding garment at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the garment we'll wear will be that gorgeous garment, and it will remind us again of the sufferings of Christ. And as we look at this robe, as we look at this wedding garment, We'll remember Calvary for all eternity. We'll remember the cross. We'll say, I'm wearing this garment because of what Christ suffered at Calvary. I'm wearing this gorgeous robe because he was prepared to be stripped naked and have a gorgeous robe put on him. Because he suffered so much for me. See, there is no possibility of us ever forgetting Calvary when we get to heaven. The very garment, the wedding garment we'll wear, will speak to us of the suffering Savior of Calvary. And that garment that we'll wear, no, it'll not be purchased with silver or gold, but purchased with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. No bride ever wore a garment like the garment we'll wear, believer, when we get to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Press on quickly, and we see it's a glorious garment. It is clean and white. In Revelation 21, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it, that is into heaven, anything that defileth, neither worketh, whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Nothing corrupt will enter in. See, my sinner friend, tonight you're here in the service, you're here in a free Presbyterian meeting, and you don't have a wedding garment, and you're not saved. And the Bible says you will not get into heaven. Nothing will enter in any wise that defileth. You have no chance. As you are now, you have no chance of being in heaven. Sorry to say. I'm sorry to say you'll not be there. Who do you have there? Who do you have in heaven that you know will be present at the marriage supper? Who will be sitting down with the Lamb? Is it your mum? Your dad? Granny or granda? You know they've already gone before you. They'll be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But what about you? Will you not be there? Will you instead be bound hand and foot and cast in to the everlasting fires of hell? While your mum, or your dad, or your brother, or your sister, your granny or granda will rejoice for all eternity in heaven. You know, I think it's about time you got ready. Do you not think it's about time you joined them? You know, I believe if you were to give your heart to the Lord tonight, the angels would carry the news to heaven. And the angels would bring the glad tidings to your loved ones in heaven and say, that wandering boy has got saved. That wayward daughter has come home. My, what rejoicing will be in heaven tonight. So what about it? Why not receive, take possession of the wedding garment tonight? Can't get in without the wedding garment. That leads us in the last place to the guests at the wedding. The word blessed is the word happy. Blessed, we are told, are they who are called. Verse 9, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed. I know that. I know that's true. We are blessed, are we not? Blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're blessed indeed. Blessed is the man whose sins have been forgiven, whose transgressions are covered. And blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Dear Christian, we're a blessed people. We have blessings here upon earth. But you know the blessings we have here. It's only a foretaste of glory divine. We'll be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Lord is calling tonight. Blessed are they which are called. And now the Lord's calling you tonight. You'll not be able to say, well, nobody called me. The Lord didn't call me to the wedding. But he's calling you now through this word. And blessed are they which are called. And the Lord's calling you to the marriage supper of the Lamb this evening. You're without excuse. Can't say you weren't told. Can't say you weren't asked. Can't say you weren't invited. Why not come and join us? And you will be blessed as well. And we'll all sit down together at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we'll talk about that night in Mourne Free Presbyterian Church. We'll talk about that night that you received your wedding gift.